Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast where we chat to inspiring women. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential woman today is Karen Liebengut. Hi, Karen. How are you?
Hello. I'm very well. I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, bless you. Sorry, interrupted your coffee there. We're having a nice, relaxed chat on Good Friday, actually, so we shouldn't be working at all, but we're going to have some fun and we're going to help the nation. Now, Karen is an accredited mindfulness teacher and life coach with influences including Buddhism and accomplished focus on NLP, personality, breath control, managing stress and chronic pain, and assisting with compassionate communication therapy. Now, a lot of us are really struggling at the moment with complete life change and trauma and anxiety, and really, really worried in this environment on all fronts with everyone across the family. So we wanted to call on you, Karen. You've been a practicing Buddhist since 2008, and we want to look at your Zen-like lifestyle and utilize these Buddhist strategies to cope with all this anxiety and stress we're facing. What do we do? Do we surrender? What do we do?
Yeah, surrender is a good word, a good thing to do, but it's easier said than done. And I have to say, I'm very grateful for my long-standing Buddhist mindfulness practice, if you like, because what it helps me is surrender to what is. I think sometimes it's misunderstood as giving in or giving up to what's happening, but actually surrendering is accepting the current situation, what's actually happening, with kindness, if you like, with wisdom. So really seeing things how they are, relaxing into what is. So with the current coronavirus situation is recognizing, oh, here is something that's happening that's really difficult, and recognizing that I can't do anything about it. But what I can control, or what I can do something about, is my own emotional state and knowing my own mind and reminding myself right now, I'm here. I have a roof over my head. Right now, I'm not ill. Right now, I'm here. I call it the radical acceptance of everything, which is a tall task and requires a lot of practice and awareness. That right now is one of the Buddhist teachings. It's actually not just a Buddhist teaching. I think it's a universal teaching about how things are and how we can come into relationship with life and live well, even through adversity.
Wow, that's beautiful. And actually, your voice is incredibly calming as well, isn't it, Karen? And your name, and I must just say that because we just touched on it before we said, but Liebengut is German, obviously, and means to love well, doesn't it? Which is incredible, because that's actually what you're doing and living and celebrating in your own life. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, when I was a child, actually, having this name, as you can imagine, I was teased all the time about, oh, so you must love well and you are loving well and who's your lover? And I hated it when I was young. And I said many times to my mother, I'm going to get married and have an ordinary name like Schulze or Schmidt, which is, you know, a really ordinary name in Germany. But that hasn't happened yet. But now I'm happy about my unusual name, more able to accept it and like it and laugh about it.
Definitely. Oh, and it's a perfect name, Love Well. And isn't it funny how sometimes we go into work that our name suits so radically, don't we? And no, I love your acceptance. And in fact, that's what I say, you know, I've got teenage children, and that's what I try and say to myself, because you do almost feel this mental health anxiety, even if you've never felt anxious before, that, okay, this is so off the scale, you don't know how to cope with. And I say that, you know, we're well, we're very lucky, we've got food on the table, we've got a roof over our head, we're safe. And it's just time and acceptance and patience. And actually, the Queen's speech last week saying you have to slow down, and other people have entertained me with things, they have schedules at home where they do indoor exercise and outdoor exercise and creative things, and it's doing things, actually, it's like an early retirement in some places, isn't it? Doing things you've always wanted to do, you've always said you haven't got time, and suddenly you've got all the time in the world. To slow down is good for you, isn't it? Oh, that's lovely. So gratitude for what we have. And it's obviously helped you in your life then, in terms of your Buddhist beliefs. And is that something where you do meditation every day with the Buddhism and you reach that ultimate state?
Well, I don't think I've reached that ultimate state, whatever that is. But I have certainly changed in the last 12 years, because what really brought me to Buddhism, meditation and mindfulness practice was my own mental ill health. So I used to suffer from a lot of anxiety throughout my whole life, I would say, from an early age, when I was a child, my mother was a single mother. I grew up with my sister. We spent a lot of time on our own because our mother was working full time. And she was a good mother, don't get me wrong, but it was a tough life for her and us. I think I used to suffer from anxiety because often I would spend time on my own or with my sister, and that wasn't always easy. And I guess I had to grow up and become independent and self-reliant at an early age, maybe too early for that task of getting on with life and always knowing what to do, which of course I didn't always know what to do. And that caused me anxiety. And I think that carried through my adolescent life and also my adult life. So for a long time, I used to live with an undercurrent of anxiety and stress, if you like, feeling not very confident about myself and life. I was unhappy, really, not sleeping very well, always feeling I wasn't doing enough, I wasn't being enough. So that is really what brought me to meditation, because someone recommended that to me and it changed my life. It's a bit of a cliche, but that is what meditation and mindfulness can do, because it helps us get to know ourselves, get to know the mind, and recognizing that not everything that goes through our mind is actually true. Yeah, that we can come out of some unhelpful views we hold.
Gosh, good for you, and thank you for sharing that personal story, because I think a lot of people either suffered that in childhood or are really suffering with that now. And mindfulness practice and meditation, you obviously do and coach as a separate business with that, but they've influenced your life in a meaningful way. Can you explain the difference between mindfulness and meditation? And then you're going to help us with some mindfulness, aren't you, in terms of, as long as we don't send anyone into a trance, or that it's okay and safe for everyone. But what's the difference? And yes, can you take our minds just to a slightly calmer, less stressful place with some mindfulness focus online, if that's possible?
So in terms of meditation and mindfulness, I always like to say, and this question often is asked, meditation is one form of practicing mindfulness. So mindfulness means awareness. That's my one word definition of mindfulness, is awareness or wakefulness, waking up versus being asleep. So waking up to what's happening in my mind, to what's happening in my body. How's my body feeling? How am I emotionally feeling? How do I relate to other people? How aware am I? What's around me? So in meditation, we create very conducive conditions to pay attention, to train that brain muscle, if you like, that pays attention, that wakes up, that is aware. That is what happens in meditation, what we can practice, being in our direct experience moment by moment. And mindfulness, if you like, has a different aspect to it. So one is meditation, so training the attention muscle. And then the other wing of mindfulness is compassion, kindness. So mindfulness is also about the heart, about cultivating and strengthening our capacity to engage with pain and difficult experiences. That is really what makes us resilient, our willingness to engage with difficult situations rather than walking away from it or avoiding or going into catastrophic thinking. It's part of life, painful situations, difficult situations.
Brilliant. So mindfulness could be if you're walking in the park and you're really focusing on the trees and the birds and you're really living that nature, which is really all we've got at the moment, isn't it, in terms of that. I'm doing that myself actually on a daily basis, and I've never really done that before. I think you really have to. So is there a sort of a message you've got to tell people about mindfulness to make us focus now on something particular? Is that possible through audio like this?
Yeah, relaxation is a positive side effect of mindfulness. But really what we practice is the opposite of falling asleep. Yeah, it's waking up. Let's just take a comfortable seat then, wherever we are right now. So awareness, mindfulness can be practiced anywhere. We can also practice it standing or sitting or lying down, and we can have our eyes slightly closed. So maybe we can just check in what feels right now, closing the eyes or opening our eyes or keeping them open. I'm going to close my eyes right now because that works for me when I practice mindfulness. And then we can just spend a moment being aware of what's around us. So the atmosphere we are in, the sounds. Maybe there's some bird song where you are, which is one of the positive side effects of the coronavirus situation, that there's less traffic and the birds can come through more, just noticing any sounds. And then inviting our awareness into our feet. So if you have your feet on the ground, perhaps you want to notice the contact with the floor and the earth beneath. Perhaps notice the sensations in the feet right now. Maybe there's a tingly feeling. And then guiding our awareness into our sitting bones, if you're sitting. Perhaps noticing the contact with the chair. And then taking our attention to our hands, noticing any physical sensations right now in your hands, the fingers, fingertips. And then from here, noticing the upper body, chest and heart. Allowing the spine to lengthen naturally so that the heart can lift a little bit, the chest can open. And settling into a poised upper body. I always like to say, taking a dignified posture. Open chest, soft face, soft eyes. And then let's take three deep breaths in this open, alert, grounded posture, taking three breaths. And on the out-breath, dropping a little bit more into the body, relaxing a little bit more down. Helping us to move from the head into the body. And one more deep breath. And then from here, expanding our awareness to include the whole body, sitting here or standing, lying. The breathing body, radiantly alive. And again, letting in sounds. And whatever else is going on around you right now, maybe children or family members, sounds from the world outside. And then in your own way in time, bringing this practice to a close, maybe by moving your toes or hands, opening your eyes.
That was lovely. Gosh, I do actually feel incredibly relaxed after that. And we can do that to talk to ourselves in that way, can we, as well, if we're...
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, this is a very short practice, just a few minutes long, but it can help us instantly to ground ourselves, to come out of a catastrophizing mind into this moment again, into the body.
Gosh, that was lovely. Thank you. And very calming.
Yeah, I always like to say feet, bum, hands, three breaths.
Wow. So it's like the children's song, heads, knees and shoulders, toes.
A little bit. Yeah, because these bodily parts, feet, sitting bones, hands, are very easy to contact and can help us ground ourselves in the body. So we come instantly out of the head. It's a direct antidote to spiraling off into panic or fear.
Really? Isn't that amazing? I do feel much calmer, actually. And you're right, you don't feel sleepy, and I don't feel sort of hypnotized, and I do feel slightly recharged, as though actually you feel a bit more human again, don't you? Gosh, thank you for that. That's really lovely. And it wasn't scary or anything, because it seemed similar to meditation. I've only very rarely had meditation in a class or something. And sometimes I think meditation can be a bit scary, sort of out of control with the thoughts coming. But that mindfulness, there weren't thoughts coming and going because you were just focusing on the being, as it were. Yeah, fabulous. Thank you for that. Brilliant. So I hope people enjoy that. We will get listeners to tell us what they thought of that and how they felt. That would be lovely to get something on social for them. So mindfulness helps us, as per your website, which we'll come on to take care of ourselves when things get stressful, to respond more wisely to problems and see things from different perspectives. So that's great. And even help us in our relationships, which I'm sure everyone can do some help with at the end of this a captivity with people we did love or we obviously all love, and let's hope that long may that last by September, I should think. So meditation at home, they could do a similar thing, but would you have a mantra or a colour or an image people look at to just sort of relax? Is there something you recommend from the meditation point of view?
I think colour can work really well. So green, the colour green is very soothing. Colour of nature, by nature, very soothing. That's also why I like to take my coaching clients into nature, because we intuitively slow down because we come from nature. Stepping into the garden, having the colour green.
I love that, actually, because your journey into life coaching as a therapist, because you touched on when you wanted to manage your own well-being, but your green space coaching, you do this outside in parks. I mean, obviously that's harder for you at the moment with social distancing, but you take people outside with the benefits of nature on our, you know, psychological, emotional and physical well-being, and you walk and talk, literally, and talk problems in the park. How fabulous. And are you still able to do that now? Or?
No, sadly, my local park, Victoria Park in East London, which is a beautiful, very big park, was closed about 3 weeks ago. Mm. It seems that they want to reopen it, but just for exercise. But this is where I go. And at the moment, I've moved all my coaching and mindfulness work online. I'm really looking forward to getting out again.
Yes, because you haven't got the green. And that actually sounds really lovely. And in fact, that's what they say, you know, when you're not facing each other, walking, you know, whether you're in the car or walking together or with children or whatever, it's a better way to talk through things, isn't it? That sounds lovely. Oh, I hope you get that back happening soon, because you're combining, yes, your love of people and nature, as you did with your environmental charity work, didn't you? So that's brilliant. Now, you've done research about the benefits of nature on our well-being, and it really does make a difference to us psychologically then, does it?
Yeah, it instantly helps us to be more in the body rather than in the head. And that gives us a greater sense of safety, security when we are in nature. So it's very grounding. And I believe that is really because we do come from nature and we have that intuition and instinct that, oh, here I am in nature. I have the earth beneath me, the sky above. And in that way, nature, I believe, creates a sort of safe container for us where we can just be and be in good relationship with ourselves and a kind relationship with ourselves. So I often, when I feel a little bit out of sorts, I like to go into nature. And by connecting to the soothing effect of nature, I can find a way back to my own heart, to myself, and then can see more clearly again.
It's interesting because I'm normally a swimmer. I swim sort of 3 or 4 times a week and obviously can't do that at the moment, and that's my happy place. And I've started daily walking in the park, which I never do. Our park luckily is still open, and I am actually really enjoying it, and I'm trying to sort of walk further every day and look at new wildlife, and it's kind of a different experience. Yes, so it's obviously what I need to keep doing then. So we've all been seeking the pursuit of happiness outside our own four walls, particularly at the moment. So why do people tend to seek life coaching, which is the other side of your business that you do? Is it the big decisions in life, the big priorities? You'll obviously have a massive surge of that after we can all come back out again. How does it work?
Yeah, different people come with different issues, if you like. But overall, often people come to me when I ask the question, so what has brought you here? They would typically say, I'm unhappy. I feel lost in my life. I want direction. People come because they're unhappy in their job. They sort of on the surface have everything they need, if you like, a well-paid job and a home. At another level, they feel unfulfilled, are looking for more meaning in their life, which of course is what really makes us happy, contributing to something bigger than ourselves, something that is helping others. So it's around helping people be in a job that fulfills them, helping people change jobs. Often people know what they want to do, but they feel fearful about changing jobs because they might fail or they might not succeed. So there's a lot around fear of change, changing directions, but also a lot of people come to me because they don't feel confident about themselves. And that always reminds me of my own journey. And when we look a little bit closer, often there's a lot of self-criticism going on, self-judgment that gets in the way of feeling more confident and believing, yes, I can change, I can do what I want. I work with people, yeah, around different themes. Sometimes it's communication with the loved ones that is a little bit of an issue, and we can look into that, and then I share tools about how to communicate differently.
So should we make one big goal or three little goals or daily goals or?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I'm actually not someone who talks very much about goals. I think it's helpful to have a broader vision for our life, where we are heading. It's helpful to imagine, yeah, the life we want to have. That's great. That gives us direction. I often compare it with being a captain of a ship. You know, we do need to have bearings. We do need to have an idea where we are heading. It's often not a straight line, isn't it? When we are on a ship, we sort of have to go with the wind, and we have to go to different harbors and visit and then go from there again. And so it's good. It's good to have a vision or a broader goal, if you like. But I think the trouble with goals is that we sometimes set them in stone, and then we get disappointed if we don't reach them. I think it's more important to have a broader idea and then take small steps along the way and check in with ourselves. Okay, how am I doing? Am I on track?
Gosh, brilliant. Oh, I feel rejuvenated and enlightened all in one moment. So which strong men or women have inspired you then in your life, Karen?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. So I often feel more inspired by women, I have to say, but that probably comes from coming from a family of strong women. My parents divorced when I was very young, when I was 2. And there hasn't really ever been a strong sort of father figure in my life, but very strong women, particularly my grandmother, extraordinary woman. So one of my role models is Jane Goodall, a scientist. She also is now, she's now in her 80s, I think. She's an environmentalist. And what I most like about her is her integrity. She really walks her own talk in the way she lives. I always feel that what she thinks is what she says, and how she behaves and her actions are sort of in line what she says. So I really find that very attractive, and that is sort of what I aspire to myself, to become more and more integrated in a way, in that sense, you know, that I live how I want to have my clients and the people I work be inspired by that. If you like.
Integrity is hugely important, and standing in your own truth like that is so important. And it's, people can see authenticity, can't they? They can tell if someone's fake and not being real and living in a real way. And I think that's really important and nice to have that sort of role model you have. I'm just going to do a quick mention to shout out to any empowering female brands that may want to team up with us, or any individuals who want to help us with a monthly fee to contribute to producing our show on Patreon, which is Patreon, the Influential Women Podcast. It's like crowdfunding. Or you can contact myself at nikkibannermanradio.co.uk or my co-producer through Pineapple Audio Production. So we'll just come on to your passions. How do you relax or spend your time off then, Karen?
In nature.
In nature. You like cycling and being on horseback, don't you?
Yeah, on horseback. That was really when I was a child. I was a very passionate horse girl, spending all my time basically with my own horse. I had a pony. I occasionally do it, but not as much anymore. Now I love spending time in nature. Right now I'm really enjoying the tulips that I've planted last autumn and gardening. I love putting my hands in the soil. I love sowing seeds. I've just last Sunday sown loads of flower seeds, and I keep looking at what's happening. I love spending time on long walks, beautiful walks around London. Sometimes I take myself on solitary walks, just spending a day by myself. or I go with friends. I also like swimming. I regularly go swimming because it's a form of meditation for me. I always feel very refreshed and invigorated after a swim. And right now, every afternoon, I go on a little cycle ride.
Oh, good, because you must be missing your walking in the park. It's hard, isn't it? Because normally the times when we need that pick-me-up, when we're feeling a bit flat or, you know, frustrated or whatever, particularly now, we haven't got that either. So we're sort of roadblocked on a lot of ways. And we have to come back to gratitude again, don't we, to manage our anxiety. It's a good leveller for everyone to realise, even, you know, what's the first thing we want to do when we can go out again, and how grateful are we going to be about that? It's going to be off the scale, isn't it? So do you have a mantra for living your life then?
There are several. I think my main mantra is to see the small things in my life every day. So really seeing and experiencing them, like the tulips in my garden. At the moment, I'm going on and on about the tulips in the garden because they are of such beauty, but in such a simple way. And it's one of the greatest teachings for me, I guess, what I've learned from Buddhism, to be fully here every day, to show up to every day as best as I can. I guess that's my mantra. And to turn towards whatever there is every day, to notice when I don't want to face up to whatever is there, and to take a breath and to do it anyway. And I think it has allowed me to just see more and experience more. So I guess that's my mantra, to show up every day as best as I can to my life and to other people.
I like that, show up every day. And that is important, isn't it? Because we don't know, yes, what the next day brings, and living in the now, I like that. So lastly, what wisdom would you say to influence women and men who listen to our Influential Women podcast? We have a number of men who love our show. What wisdom would you say to them?
Well, I guess it relates to what I've just said, to show up every day to life, whatever it brings, because I think when we do, we also discover its richness more, because life is very, very rich, even in this very difficult time. And by the way, at the beginning of the show, I didn't want to dismiss the people who really do suffer right now and who have fallen ill and who suffer and who have died. It's about, I think the wisdom here is to really accept that life brings suffering, but also enormous joy. And the wisdom is to see that clearly and not to expect life to be easy when it isn't. Sometimes I think we go into life as terrible, or life is hard, which is true, and life sometimes feels unbearable and unmanageable. We leave out that there is also a lot of joy and a lot of good stuff and a lot of kindness. That's the wisdom, I think, to see things for what they really are.
Wow, that's lovely. Thank you so much, Karen. So thank you for your time and helping us to feel calm and tranquil in these really troubled times. Our hearts go out to all those people suffering in these difficult times. And I'm sure your messages will really help them today, Karen. Thank you for your wisdom, for your mindfulness, for your inspiration and values and integrity, and teaching people how to cope and be stronger together. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. This Influential Women's podcast is co-founded by host presenter Nikki Bannerman and co-producer Juliet Nichols. And this episode is edited by Safran Mirza. Please subscribe for free. Keep listening for more podcast guests on our channel on Apple Podcasts, Comcast, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, and Spotify. And we'd love a 5-star review.